Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The words for our consideration today are the words that are found in Isaiah chapter 55, beginning at verse 10, our Old Testament lesson appointed for this Sunday. There it is written, "As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." So far, our sermon text. Let us pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. We pray that by them you would set us apart from this sinful and dying world for yourself, that we might live eternally with you in heaven. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Fellow redeemed in Christ, this time of year, we have a strange weather pattern here in Lake Havasu City, and if you've lived here for a while, you know what I'm talking about when I mention the Hava Dome. For those of you who are joining us online today, it's a strange weather pattern where the rain clouds come right up to the place where we are, but they seem to be stopped by some kind of invisible barrier. Sometimes even the rain clouds come over the top of us and begin to drop their rain, but the rain never reaches the ground. It evaporates from the heat before it can get all the way down. It's an interesting phenomenon that's called virga by meteorologists. Sometimes you look on the radar and you'll see that it's raining like crazy in Havasu, but it's dry as a bone. No water reaches the ground. It reminded me of the way that the words of mortals like us, reminds me of the way that our words are, like virga. We make promises, and often we can't keep them. Our words fail to make them happen. We talk about accomplishing important things in our lives, but then plans evaporate before they can bring about any lasting change. Our words ultimately accomplish nothing eternal. If nothing else, the grave makes our words virga. And nowhere is this more true than in the field of religion. Everybody seems to have ideas about religion. Everyone's an expert if you talk to them about religion, feels fully competent to make up their own minds about what is true, about what is right, what is wrong. Many people expect God to make himself known through mighty miracles. Many expect God to make their lives the way they want them to be. Many want to hear him speak from heaven. Many want to see him as proof that he actually exists. Then they'll believe because they've seen. Now, God has actually done all of these things long ago, but it's never enough for those who want to see in order to believe, who demand signs and wonders. And many people mistake God's apparent silence these days for the typical religious virga of mankind, religious promises that have failed. And why do people think this way? It's because they expect the wrong kind of communication from God. God doesn't thunder at us from heaven. He could. People would be forced to believe then. And that's exactly why God doesn't speak that way to us. It would not accomplish what he desires to accomplish. Think of it this way. During the great flood, torrents of rain came down from the heavens, destructive rain that washed everything in the old world away. If we saw that today, it would be impressive. But it would not accomplish what the Lord desires. He makes the rains to fall gently upon the earth, to give seed to the sower. The same is true for the way that the Lord speaks. The Almighty and merciful Lord speaks, but he speaks as he desires to speak, to do what he desires to do, to accomplish the purposes that he desires. So too does the rain that gives seed to the sower. Now, we don't understand exactly why things happen when they do, according to the Lord. For his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. He's always about accomplishing something more than we can even imagine. The Almighty and merciful Lord speaks first and foremost to save us. The Almighty and merciful Lord speaks to care for us. In fact, the Almighty and merciful Lord would speak to you personally today, in this place. So he doesn't speak with a thunderous voice from heaven that splits the rocks and fills our hearts with a dread fear of him. Instead, he speaks with a still, quiet whisper in his word, in the Bible. He speaks as he does because the Almighty and merciful Lord, first and foremost, seeks to save us. At the beginning of the chapter in Isaiah 55, he pictures mankind as poor beggars, thirsty and hungry and penniless, but also capable of that sort of peculiar self-delusion where we can convince ourselves that we can fix the problems that we have ourselves. God says, "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price." The Lord speaks to everyone here. That's you and me too, not just the people of the Old Testament. He speaks to us, and he bids us to think about our lives with these words, to ask ourselves, is it truly satisfying? Most all of us can find some measure of satisfaction in the things of this world. We can enjoy the cool of the morning. We had a nice one today. We can enjoy the company of family and friends, although right now it seems like we have to distance a little bit more than normal. We can enjoy a tasty meal and be filled up. But all these things are so fleeting. Here today, gone tomorrow. There's nothing here that will satisfy us for long. And the same is true about our spiritual lives. We can find some measure of satisfaction in a serene church setting, maybe, or in the company of fellow believers, or in helping others. But these things are not the righteous perfection that God requires. In fact, the more we listen to what our perfect and righteous God tells us is righteous, the more we ought to hunger and thirst for righteousness. And the more we ought to recognize that we don't have that kind of righteousness of ourselves. We need it. We need it to live with the Lord in heaven and to be in his presence. And so indeed, we are poor beggars. Now we might be able to fool other people about this and make them think that we've got it all together. We might even be able to fool ourselves at times into thinking that we're acceptable to God because maybe we're better than our neighbor. Or maybe we haven't done anything that's really bad, but Isaiah reminds us that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Now, there are those who have bought into the self-deception, who wither and starve rather than receiving from God the good gifts that he offers, even though he gives it freely. How sad that their sinful delusion keeps them from receiving the very things that they need, keeps them from believing what the Lord says, even when he speaks to us to save us. There are also those who think that the Bible isn't God's word. They won't hear the Ten Commandments of the Lord. They won't recognize his righteousness. They make for themselves some kind of idol to look up to put their trust in. But they miss the fact that everything we can come up with to give ourselves stability and a future in this world, everything that we do is fleeting. The perishing product of a dying race. There's no help there. There's only a terrible insult to the one true God who would save us. God's good gifts never reach their parched and starving lips because they will not go where God promises to give this bounteous gift to mankind. In the gospel, the good news about Jesus, in holy baptism, as we heard. Now, this doesn't mean that the word is ineffective for them. It shall accomplish that which he purposes, the scriptures say, and shall succeed in the thing for which he sent it. The Lord speaks because he would save us, but he will not force anyone to love him. And to those who reject what he offers or ignore his way of giving things, he says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." Remember what Jesus said. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. He said that, and then he became our bread of life, the very thing that nourishes us. The Word of God incarnate cares for us in the Word of God inspired, the Bible. The true God came into the world to take on our humanity, to live out the righteousness that no human being could. And he offered up that righteousness on Calvary's cross. He satisfied God's wrath in himself for us. He filled that monumental grave that we had dug by our sins. He filled it with his infinite goodness and light and life. And his resurrection is the proof of that, fellow redeemed. He cares for us forever. And he ascended into heaven so that he would send his Spirit to be with us. Hearing that we stand before God forgiven and perfect as far as he's concerned, well, that is nourishing to our souls. That's what builds us up to eternal life. The Spirit has become for us the water of life, as Jesus says, that wells up in us to eternal life. Because he has freely given us faith, a faith that knows of nothing to trust except Jesus Christ and him crucified, heavenly food for the heavenward bound. Jesus speaks these things to us to care for us, and his word does that which he purposes. The benefits of all that he did for us on that cross 2,000 years ago, they're brought to us here and now for us to hear and believe, to eat and to drink freely, feasting, sharing, and you know it. You came today to hear his word. You came at his command and invitation, and you have received already the full forgiveness, life, and salvation that he's prepared for you. And that's why you must hear him speaking to you. The preaching from this pulpit must be what he says. I dare not speak otherwise. And the hearing of the word must be in earnest. Remember who speaks here. The Lord said to his disciples, "He who hears you hears me." I want you to think about that closely for a minute. It's no more abstract than his body and blood in with and under the bread and wine and Holy Communion. We believe that to be true because Jesus said it, and we believe that it is true that he is here with us today to speak to us, to give us his word. And so when I am faithfully presenting to you what he said, you're hearing not me, but the Lord himself speaking to you from this pulpit. And it's true, certainly, that you want to check this. You want to do as the Berean congregation did and go to your Bibles and make sure that what I'm saying to you is the word of the Lord. They were commended for that. See the truth in what the Lord said through Isaiah. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. There's no virga here. No teasing from the skies. He has come down. He has given us these gifts, and he is with us. Look around you at your fellow Christians and see what he's done. Look around while you're up here at the table and see what he's doing, uniting himself to you, body and blood. Look around at those who are not here in your mind's eye. And remember his promises. And then, as Isaiah says, you will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. They'll clap their hands because this is good news from the Almighty and merciful Lord. Words that save us and care for us. Words that he's spoken to us personally. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Please rise. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.